Jeff Hawkins, we're back.
Yay.
So here's the deal, guys. Thursday night, Jeff, you and I recorded this episode of Shake Them Ropes.
A very good episode of Shake Them Ropes.
Oh my God.
I thought.
One of our best ones ever. One of our best ones ever. And because of how life works, the audio recording system that I had used failed us during this greatest episode ever. The greatest episode, which is a network special on Friday. So we are re-recording some of the parts that were missed. We might add some stuff. We might actually talk about some stuff twice that was recorded elsewhere, because we are going to add the audio that we're recording today, which is a Sunday, onto the audio that was preserved and that still works, because I want to get that out there. So if you're listening to this episode and we talk about the same thing twice throughout the show, it's not because we're that forgetful, although I am. It is partially the audio system. So I take the blame. So I apologize. Our big WrestleMania week episode is coming 1 week after WrestleMania. I'm sorry. Hope you guys stick with us and hope you enjoy the show. So there will be some quick cuts probably throughout this episode, including this one.
Rob McCarron. Jeff Hawkins.
Is it? Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my God!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE. Styles is here!
WrestleMania week is over. I think New Orleans beat me. Look, indie shows, you're going to have to step up your game if you're going to want to beat NXT any year going forward. We can't have this many indie shows with this many half efforts and steal the weekend from NXT, which was absolutely sublime live. Also beating me, possibly, WrestleMania Live, because Lord knows 3 hours into it, I was looking for coffee and I was in an uncomfortable chair. And I wasn't terribly enjoying myself. Also not enjoying himself, Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Welcome back. Welcome back to the States.
Oh, no, stop. New Orleans was a blast. Met a lot of great people.
Okay, I'm good. Yeah.
Some even more great than others.
Some crazy. You confused me a lot because you texted me. You texted me, hey, is our logo original? I got to get to the bottom of this, all right? We have a lot to get to the bottom of this week. I want to get to the bottom of this. You texted me, hey, there's this other podcast going around with our logo. And then you gave me the website of this other...
I'm not sure if they were the right... If that was the right website.
Like, what is someone going around with... And not that our logo is super fancy or anything. It's a ring with text. And yes, it was originally made for us specifically. As far as I know, it's not a parody of somebody. Our logo's around and someone lifted it apparently with their own podcast name and they're going around making t-shirts.
Yeah. It looked like that.
Well, what the hell? I want some of the proceeds on this.
Well, and then you texted me something and you threw me all into a loop.
Well, I do that. So what happened was I announced that I was not going to wrestle the Undertaker at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
That's not true.
I am going to wrestle The Undertaker at the Greatest Royal Rumble. So we have to apparently take this Greatest Royal Rumble show seriously.
No, we don't.
Do we not? I mean, this is going to be, it's basically a pay-per-view with a world title match, a tag team title match on both brands, one of which is going to establish new tag team champions for the Raw brand. This show is being hyped up right now. We don't even know what brand these guys are going to be on. You're going to have Raw versus SmackDown guys, which is crazy because the only night per year where Raw and SmackDown go head to head in competition is Survivor Series. So the whole world is madness right now.
Just look at it as an extra special event, much like they did with was it, Elimination Chamber a couple years ago. It happens in a couple weeks. We have a couple weeks to talk about it.
A special event, Rob, which featured the debut of Kevin Owens beating John Cena.
Oh, for the love of God. There is so much to talk about from this weekend.
WrestleMania Part 2 is happening in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's where they're going to crown Roman. All right, they're going to crown Roman there because they were afraid of the boos in New Orleans.
And what about this match? WWE Championship match. TBD versus TBD. Barn burner. Greatest Royal Rumble, man. We'll talk about a portion of that. I will warn all the parents out there that are listening to this show in their car with their kids. This show will be PG. Parental guidance required. But it's not going to be PG-13. The kids can be under 13 years old. I promise you, this is a safety zone. We are not going to cuss too much.
Too much.
Jeff.
Yes.
You are coming straight from New Orleans, Louisiana, Dominican Republic. How was your trip?
Oh, it was fantastic. The food, the bars, the people, you know, meeting your friends from wrestling and wrestling podcasts and just, you know, and fans
wrestling
of this
podcasts
show.
Is too many of those.
No, fans. Yeah, I agree. fans of this show are great. I mean, I love them. I love talking to them. They love talking to me, I think, as long as I'm not terribly awkward. You know, our super fan Trisha tried to punch me for the stuff I said about Dean Ambrose.
Man, talk about a great WrestleMania. Dean Ambrose free.
Oh, now I'm going to get in trouble. You know that.
Well,
right?
You should, because you told me to say that before the show started.
Okay, good.
I didn't want to. I love Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is so good. He's like the Macho Man of our era.
Here's the problem I really, really had with the all-encompassing week. And trust me, I ate some of the best food of my life this week. The independent shows of which I paid for were all fairly underwhelming to me compared to matches I've seen in Los Angeles, etc., by similar promotions and similar matches. Mm-hmm. Each card had a good to great match on it, but it wasn't as consistent. It wasn't like 2 years ago where you could say the Evolve shows, you know, may have stolen the weekend from NXT.
Okay.
You know, it was okay. The Zack Sabre Jr. Walter match was great. The mixed tag match from Progress was great. But you had, you know, matches of varying quality all weekend because everybody was trying to do too much. And then you go to something like NXT where everybody's trying to knock it out of the park. And you're just blown away by it. That NXT show live may have been better than the Philly show. May have been, I think.
Really? Because, no, Philly was pretty gosh darn fun.
Oh, this was a blast, Rob. Okay. That ladder match, I went with my friend Jason, and I think Jason may follow you. I don't know. But we were watching, and we were both commenting that this may be Ricochet's first and last match at this rate because he's out there over-rotating on flips because he's so excited. He's bumping like a madman for the two big guys. These guys are looking to shorten careers for the sake of having a spectacular match, and it worked. The Roddy turn in that match got huge heat. The title match was great, and let me tell you something. That Gargano-Ciampa match, unsanctioned, including all the little subtleties in it. Drake not wearing a real referee's uniform, the plant with the crutches, the ending with the brace. This is a perfect match. I watched it again last night. This is better than the Almas match. I know that sounds sacrilege to you because we were there live.
Because we were there live. Now, you were there live at both of them. I was there live at the one, and that's why I like the Royal Rumble weekend match a little bit better because I was there live. It was so great. But this was a completely different type of match. You can't really compare the two one-on-one. This is a whole different story. This wasn't about Johnny Gargano trying to go for the championship that no one ever said he could win. This is Johnny Gargano getting back at a lifelong friend who betrayed him and cost him not only that championship, but his career, basically.
Yeah, this is as close to a blood feud in NXT as I think we're ever going to get. This is as close to my favorite match being Magnum Tully, I Quit, as we're going to get. Everything about this was laid out perfectly, from including the little pro wrestling nuances in there, you know, the plant with the crutches, and see, because I wasn't privy to commentary at the time. We're watching the match, and as you get to the end with, you know, taking off the brace, you know, so you could hit the knee. And then as he's transitioning into the STF, we're going, you know, it'd be great here if he just picked up the brace and used that for more leverage. And then he did. And you're just, you know, just screaming. Like, I mean, everything about this was laid out so great. And look, I think Okada's the best wrestler in the world. But I think right now Johnny Gargano is having the best 2018 of any wrestler in the world.
He's having the best year in the U.S., I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is the pillar of NXT right now, and who would have thought that was possible when he first came in? And this was Johnny Gargano, who was coming in to the TV episodes, working without a Performance Center contract, without an NXT contract, without a WWE contract, just coming in for episodes. And he and Ciampa were so popular and got over so quickly that it got Johnny Gargano a full-time job, and now he is the head of NXT, if you will. I mean, amongst all the other guys that have come in now, Aleister Black is on the rise. He's the NXT champion. But Andrade Almas, a lot of these top signings, Ricochet even. I mean, Gargano very well could have a better run in NXT than Ricochet, of all people. Depends on how long Ricochet's in there. Johnny Gargano has been, along with Andrade Almas, the in-ring MVP over the last year. But popularity-wise, this guy is a superstar. And NXT... What do you think, Jeff, about Johnny Gargano's hopes in WWE? If he's so popular in NXT, what if he were to get called up? Any chance that he can bring this type of success to the main roster?
I have my doubts. Because number one, I think he'd be earmarked for 205.
Well, absolutely.
His problem right now is timing because of Daniel Bryan. He is the same archetype as Daniel Bryan, the guy who's a bit too small, but everybody loves him and everybody knows he's a great wrestler and will get behind him. So that's the danger there. And knowing Vince's instincts, if they brought him up to the main roster, the first thing they do is kill him to get him sympathy, which would turn people.
Now, what if he goes to 205 Live? And Vince McMahon doesn't have his hands on that show. It's all Triple H, and Triple H just gives Johnny Gargano the mountain push up to the top of 205 Live. Not seeing as many of the cruiserweights on Raw these days. You get that one cruiserweight segment if you're lucky, and that's pretty much it.
I think it's like being the prettiest girl in a small town. I think it matters up to a point, but really, if you want to judge yourself, you go to the big city and see how you can do in Hollywood. So I mean, it's 205 is what it is right now. It's an add-on to a tired SmackDown crowd that a bunch of hardcore people on the network watch. And I don't think it's going to be, I don't think there's a possibility of a business changing thing where 205 Live overtakes any main roster show.
It won't get the resources to do so. It's not so much about talent and, hey, can this show thrive? I mean, it's not what that show's about.
Well, then that answers your question. If a show can't thrive and you put a guy who's very popular on it,
it can thrive for what it is. Yeah.
Well, for what it is. Yeah. Right. You have to put the caveat on it.
But no one's watching 205 Live and going to stop watching Raw because, 205 deserves my time more.
It's an extra show. I mean, as you and I, being grown men with jobs and social lives and whatnot, know, it's hard to fit in all, 7 to 9 hours of television that they put out a week.
It's hard to fit in the 3 hours on Monday.
Yeah, something has to give occasionally, and usually what that was 205 for me. I would prefer for me, I mean, I'm happy watching just NXT and 205, and that gets... You know, that makes me happy. Yes or no.
Johnny Gargano will wrestle in a non-cruiserweight match at WrestleMania someday.
Oh, man. I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to add the caveat that it's a battle royal.
Oh, well, okay. I should, I mean, come on now. A non-battle royal slash non-cruiserweight match. No. It's a tough call. It's a tough call in this landscape. So you say no. We'll see. We shall see. Are you watching this Barry show on HBO?
Not yet. Don't have a lot of time. I just got home from WrestleMania. I'm still trying to clean up. For God's sakes, Rob, don't ask me if I'm watching more shows.
I'm telling you. The wife and I just binged watched the first three episodes. Not that it's hard to do so. I mean, it takes about an hour and 10 minutes. These shows are 20, 22 minutes long. But yeah, I felt, and I asked you this because the show is about these acting classes, these small acting classes in LA. It's about this guy who wants to become an actor who has a vastly different job, and it stars Bill Hader. You should watch this show and let me know when you do.
It's the same premise as Get Shorty, right? Hitman who wants to become a Hollywood player.
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess if that's what Get Shorty is about.
Yeah.
Because who the hell's ever seen that?
Well, it has its own show on, I think, the Audience Network, and it was made into a major motion picture, actually two of them.
Get Shorty. I remember Get Short. Is that the show? Get Smart. No, Get Smart.
That's Get Smart. No, Get Shorty was John Travolta when he was on his ascension after Pulp Fiction and Danny DeVito. And yeah, no, it's based on an Elmore Leonard book.
Hmm. And which one is Major League?
Jeez, really?
Hey, I wanna bring up this whole this week in Rusev, if you will.
Okay.
Jeff Hawkins, your thoughts on Rusev?
While we were recording the first time, he changed his Twitter handle.
Did he change the actual Twitter handle?
No. He's still Rusev.
He's still Rusev Bull or whatever. Ball, yeah. If you wish.
Yes.
So let's backstory here. All right. Yes, we recorded this. We recorded most of this episode on Thursday. Here we are on Sunday now. I don't think a whole lot has changed so far, but on Wednesday, it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday. WWE announced at the Greatest Royal Rumble happening in just a week or two in Saudi Arabia, The Undertaker was going to wrestle a casket match against Rusev. Just out of nowhere announced this match. Rusev puts on Twitter, "Bury me softly, brother." And then there's a TMZ story with Lana and Rusev, and they're talking about burying his old ass.
Yes.
One day later is all it took. Rumors out there, Michelle McCool not happy. Maybe Undertaker not happy. All of a sudden, WWE announces Undertaker is now wrestling Chris Jericho in a casket match in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And not only that, but Chris Jericho tweets out, "I'm going to bury your ass." Doesn't say old ass. Just bury. "I'm going to bury your ass." And now we have Undertaker and Chris Jericho, and Rusev is relegated to the 50-man Royal Rumble match. Your take on all this craziness with Rusev changing the Twitter handle. He put a picture of the movie his wife is starring in, which is, I think, called Other Versions of You or something like that. So what do you make of Rusev, WWE, Lana, Undertaker, this drama?
Well, Michelle McCool watched the video and said realized they never said what they said they did. So there was any
the headline, right?
If there was any anger coming out of this, it was overblown. And I don't hold out that they didn't complain because of the word old. Because that seems to be a vanity thing for a lot of wrestlers. Hulk Hogan had it for a number of years. Don't call me old on screen. Don't call me old. You know, on television, you know, I'll wear the bandana, et cetera. Well, I have no problem with the vanity. But I also don't ascribe anything more to them changing the opponent than having someone that Undertaker is possibly more comfortable with.
More comfortable with for a guy who's, you know, only maybe got a handful of matches left, if even. Just rather working with Chris Jericho. Maybe Chris Jericho said, "You know what? I'd like to work with Undertaker if you're giving out a singles match with him." And they changed it. You know,
he's a veteran who knows Undertaker's style and can play with him a little bit more than I think Rusev can. I have no problem with this.
And not only this, but let's say for a small chance that WWE is like, "You know what? We don't want to bury Rusev." Who's to say they just want to, you know, Chris Jericho's time as a main eventer is done. I mean, he comes in for the special events, but he's not going to be a future year-long champion by any means. And maybe they have hope that Rusev one day will be back up in that upper echelon. The merchandise is selling well, and we don't want to lose him to The Undertaker here in this casket match. Small likelihood that's the case, but still, it could be a valid reason for taking Rusev out of this singles casket match.
That would be an amazing piece of self-awareness on their part.
Yeah. So not likely, of course.
Right.
But it could be the reason. This Greatest Royal Rumble. I mean, it's a canon show right now. It's not like the Japanese special. This is Brock Lesnar going, you know, defending the championship. This is Roman Reigns going for the title. This is a Raw tag team title match to determine new Raw tag team champions. This show is kind of a must see, or at least must know about, happening at, I believe, 9 a.m. local time for you, Jeff, on Friday.
And it's absolutely stupid and ridiculous. I think it's noon local time for me. And I'll,
well, no, can, it's noon Eastern.
Oh, it's noon Eastern. Then it is 9 o'clock local time. It's stupid to make it canon. It was stupid to even put this out there on WWE television, in my opinion.
Nine championship. What are even the nine? It says what? Nine or seven championships? Seven championships, I think. Seven championship matches with no women's title match. What are even the seven championships?
All right, here we go.
All right.
Let's see. Universal title.
Yeah, that's
WWE one. Title.
All right.
U.S. title, which is getting defended overseas, which seems dumb. Intercontinental title.
Okay.
Raw tag team title.
Ah, we're close.
SmackDown tag team title.
What's the missing championship?
Cruiserweight championship.
Ah, there you go. There's your seven. God, how easy is that? So add in the women's championships and you have nine championships. Is that what we're saying? Nine titles right now, four and five on the two shows.
Yes.
What show has the extra chance? Oh, the Cruiserweight Championship, of course. The extra title for the 3-hour show. When that, here's one for you, Jeff. We talked about Johnny Gargano wrestling at WrestleMania. Likelihood that we see a Cruiserweight Championship match on Raw this year.
An actual title
match for the Cruiserweight title on Raw. With the way that these pay-per-views are going, it would seem likely, yes, that the Cruiserweight Championship is the odd man out in having time on pay-per-view. But do they hold those matches off for 205 Live? Because what we've seen a lot of times is they build up the title match for 205 Live on Raw, but the actual title match happens on the network. Could we see a Raw slot with a 15-minute Cruiserweight title match at some point this year?
We could, but we won't. Okay. We will see the setup matches as you just alluded to.
It's going
to
be as elusive for Raw as the Universal Championship.
Yes.
That's craziness. So yeah, that is the Greatest Royal Rumble and the Rusev stuff. A lot of people thinking Rusev is on the outs with WWE. I don't see him being gone anytime soon. Do you?
I see the possibility because I still think they're holding against him the whole Lana thing.
And what's the whole Lana thing?
That they wanted to push her into more of a central character on the show, and then she announced her engagement, and that screwed everything up with the Ziggler angle.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they still tried to make her a singles. They put her with Tamina, even. They still tried to make her a singles deal, and it's not taken off.
But they didn't want to make her a wrestler until the whole Emma thing fell through. They wanted her just to be a central character.
This is all Emma's fault.
No, it's all TMZ's fault for broadcasting that. Oh, it's not real that Lana and Rusev are apart now. So I think the memory is long.
Well, it's also crazy, too, because WWE is the one who feeds stories to TMZ. Like they tell, yes. Hey, people are going to be here. So and so. Here's your story. Blah, blah, blah. That's how it works with TMZ. What would you get mad at the guys out for a story you put out there?
The hypocrisy knows no bounds, Rob.
Yes, it's true. This damn Triple H just isn't running things by Vince, and he's getting upset. This year's WrestleMania certainly was exciting, but if you couldn't get it up for WrestleMania, you need to try Hims. 40% of men under the age of 40 struggle with sexual performance issues, and a solid WrestleMania card alone won't be able to solve this issue. Instead of turning to weird solutions like New Japan or Ring of Honor, head straight for medicine and science. That's where Hims comes in. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss solutions, skincare, and yes, sexual wellness. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to help treat ED. Now these solutions aren't snake oil pills or wacky over-the-counter supplements. They're real medicinal solutions backed by science. Roman Reigns' champion may not be able to do it for you, but ForHims.com just might. Right now, you can try Hims for a month for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This would be a cost of hundreds if you went straight to the doctor or pharmacy. So go to forhims.com/STRED right now. That's forhims.com/STRED. Forhims.com/STRED. Well, let's talk about a couple of things from WrestleMania, which is, which forever will be part of the audio debacle. We had we got to talk about this main event, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. After I believe I counted 18 F5s, Roman Reigns fell to Brock Lesnar in the main event of WrestleMania, a WrestleMania that featured the ending of Asuka's streak and Brock Lesnar pulling off the surprise win. So basically the doubling down on streaks and Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania 30 in the same building. So I guess we all should have known, but Brock Lesnar remains the Universal Champion. And now, because we're recording this on Sunday, have a little bit more rumor, speculation, whatever you want out there, that maybe this was a last minute call. And Jeff, I know you love this excuse, that Roman Reigns may have been the defeated one here in Vince's eyes because the crowd wasn't going to cheer him. Like, he just came to this realization here. What do you make about Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, current Universal Champion, remaining Universal Champion, as we head into Backlash and beyond?
I'm going to backtrack a little bit because you mentioned Asuka's streak.
Yes, Asuka. She lost her streak.
Doesn't need it. She's a powerful character. She does not need the streak. I hated all the belly aching about, well, why'd they do that just to have Charlotte lose the title? Because it resets the board for a lot of different things you can do in the division. And it also gives Carmella a chance to say, Charlotte can beat Asuka, I can beat Asuka, if Charlotte's actually leaving. If she's not leaving the show,
yeah,
you have that whole thing. So I have no problem with that. I speculated yesterday that I think what they should do is put all the horsewomen on one show. If they're going to build Charlotte and Rousey, put all the horsewomen, make them a unit, okay, and go after Rousey. I think that'd be a compelling story.
But the whole idea of the horsewomen, though, is over. I mean, I kind of get that vibe that, you know, all four of them are completely separate now. You have Bayley and Sasha. It's like when the Radicals came in, and eventually you separated them, but Benoit and Eddie were kind of still friends, but they were all four individuals at that point. This is what I feel the horsewomen are now. Charlotte is no longer entwined in that. Becky Lynch is no longer entwined in that. You have Sasha and Bayley kind of doing their angle, and that's it.
It is, but you can always get the band back together. You can have Charlotte come in and go, what are you two doing? You two are friends. You know, you've double-crossed each other enough. Bayley and Sasha, get on board with the team again. We're getting the band back together, and then Becky gets drafted, and then you have it. Right. I mean, it's easy to do.
And we might see that this week, because likely Charlotte is going to be on a show with either Sasha or Bayley. Becky Lynch might be on a show with Sasha or Bayley. So yes, we are going to be seeing that sometimes here with the upcoming superstar shakeup, the soup shake, if you will.
But as for Brock Roman.
Oh, and while you're talking about Brock Roman, too, talk about the crowd response, because you were there live and people saw an apathetic crowd. Talk a little bit about that, too.
This crowd was apathetic from the get-go. They were not going to cheer this match at all. And in fact, what happened was the build turned them against Brock as well, because he's leaving. They were never going to cheer Roman.
And that's what
they're never going to cheer Roman.
WWE kind of wanted that, too. They just didn't realize, oh, wait, if we turn people against Brock and they're still against Roman, we've set ourselves up for failure.
Exactly. It's we've been saying this when we were speculating what would go on last every week. They're not going to cheer Roman. They're not going to cheer Roman, so it's dumb to put Roman on last. Oh, no, they'll find a way around. No, they won't. They're not that clever. At least 8 different chants, including NXT, Johnny Gargano. This is awful. Beach Ball Mania, because this was the only match where the beach balls came out. Cheers for Nicholas from the Braun Strowman match. Cheers for CM Punk. And cheers for Daniel Bryan. This crowd literally turned off and did not pay attention to this match. I couldn't even tell you how good it was because I was watching it and nobody cared. So there was no response within the crowd other than when the blood started and everybody kind of went, ooh. And then when it ended, there was kind of a surprise pop. I was watching a writer for WWE who was about 20 feet away from me in the aisle with another guy, and they're just kind of amazed and kind of looking around at the rest of the audience, but also not terribly surprised, it seemed. So it was such a miscalculation on all parts. And this whole show was the order went bad after Rousey and Hunter, because the stretcher job on Daniel Bryan was another miscalculation. You get the guy with the most goodwill. You take him out immediately in the match. And while it's while it was executed properly, it was booked poorly.
Correct. It wasn't a poor execution. They did what they wanted to do. But like, what are you planning here? I mean, Daniel Bryan had waited for 3 years. Why'd you have to make him wait for 10 more minutes? It didn't build up any anticipation. Just put him on the ringside. Put him on the ring apron. Wait for a tag. Build up anticipation the right way so people know, hey, Daniel Bryan's there. He's going to get in at some point. I can't wait for that to happen instead of what the hell are they doing? Why are stretcher job? Yeah. Two stretcher jobs for Daniel Bryan since announcing his return. Two in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, the John Cena Undertaker thing was so drawn out that it got ridiculous, especially with the special effects. The what else was in that whole? Oh, the AJ Shinsuke match suffered from being built up as a dream match and then not delivering as a dream match. You were expecting Shinsuke to kick out of that first what does he call that move? Sorry,
the,
I'm blanking.
Fantastic
on it.
The fabulous forearm, the phenomenal forearm.
Not the forearm, the one that pinned him.
What the hell pinned him? It was the forearm, wasn't it?
No, it was the pile driver move that you don't tuck your head.
The Styles Clash.
Styles
Clash. Did
he
lose to the Styles Clash? I thought he lost to the forearm.
I thought he lost. Okay, I can't remember.
I don't know. This match was over, and I'm like, okay, it was not even about the match at that point. It was about the heel turn of Shinsuke Nakamura, which I am excited for.
That was perfect.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future on that.
Shinsuke heel turn was perfect, but when you say something's going to be a dream match and then you turn it into an angle, it's going to disappoint. So everything was kind of the law of diminishing returns when you get to Brock and Roman, which people just did not care about at that point. And then after seeing the comedy did not buffer as much as it should have with Braun and Nicholas.
Hey, am I the only one who's excited that at least we won't get Shinsuke versus Jinder anytime soon?
Yes, you are not the only one.
We are safe from that. However, we might get Mr. Randall K. Orton versus Shinsuke again sometime, which I can't wait for.
Yeah, but no, there was something that was brought up originally that we need to bring up. It's the Raw crowd was almost the Mania crowd, or what it should have been, and the Mania crowd was far more rabid and what you would think the Raw crowd was going to be.
Yeah, they were I mean, it was the Raw crowd was exactly what you think the Mania crowd is going to be, full of casuals. They're just loud for everything, but they're not taking things away. They're not doing random chants. WrestleMania was the Raw after Mania crowd. It was weird. They were transposed. Like it was. You guys buy the right tickets. You guys know what show you're at. This isn't Raw after Mania. It's WrestleMania. It's not WrestleMania. It's Raw after Mania. It was fine. I liked it on Raw for sure. Like the Raw on TV, and you were there live. The Raw on TV came off super well.
Yeah, and I think letting go of a bunch of tickets or releasing a bunch of tickets in the premium section on that day, which apparently is what happened because I had friends who picked them up, helped the casuals get more tickets that were in town.
Yeah,
for the money. But also, I mean, the one thing that they do now yearly that drives me insane, this is the show where you were showcasing the new talent you were bringing up for the audience. To put that preamble, this is an odd crowd. Sometimes they boo people you're supposed to cheer and cheer people you're supposed to boo. What is that telling the audience? They're telling the audience not to listen to this crowd.
Yep.
When you're trying to teach them how they should react.
Yeah, and the people who may not know any better are going to see that Ember Moon debut and be like, wait a second.
How should I react?
Yeah,
The
crowd's cheering her, but is she bad? Because I don't know, because Michael Cole said that I shouldn't listen to this crowd.
Exactly. You set up that whole thing so that we shouldn't pay attention to how the audience reacts. And that just undercuts everybody. And look, I'll give the example of Cass and Enzo, because they were hugely over when they debuted. And it took a couple weeks, and they finally found a crowd where the crowd wasn't sure how to react. I think it was actually the next week or the week after. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the crowd got into it. But no, you don't diss your own hardcore audience. Right. Mm-hmm. That is just stupid business.
It seems silly. It seems silly. Hey, where the hell is Big Cass at?
He's been cleared.
I know. Are you surprised that you didn't see him at all this week?
I think he may be involved in this shakeup. I think there's a few people that haven't been shown yet who maybe get involved in this shakeup. I think Sanity is a big possibility, and perhaps even with Paul Ellering.
Maybe. Yeah, there's an idea. You kind of bring up Sanity, although if you bring him up with Paul Ellering, wouldn't it make sense to put them in Age of not Age of the Fall, but Authors of Pain on the same show? And then are you really bringing up two NXT acts to feud with each other right away?
I don't know. It's just an idea.
It is an idea. It is not a terrible one.
I think Almas may get brought up somewhere.
Okay. 205 Live. You can have 205 Live come out on Tuesday and Drake's like, hey, I'm involved in the Superstar Shakeup. I'm going to bring up Andrade Almas to be the
Do you think they relegate him to 205, or do you think they bring up him and Zelina as an act because they can get great heat with Zelina?
That is the chance. I mean, Andrade Almas is a cruiserweight-ish, but he has that look like, yes, he can come up on a main roster and do some things. I don't know. The fact that Zelina Vega is with him makes it more likely he'll be up on the main roster and not just 205 Live, because without Zelina, this guy's probably an NXT lifer.
Yes.
Until they just don't realize what more to do with him and do the Hideo Itami move where, hey, we're going to call him up, have him win a couple of matches, but when there's no crowd reaction, we're just going to not even air him on TV. Like, where the hell is Hideo Itami at this point? Can't get anywhere.
There's absolutely the possibility that they leave him down there to do the Gargano, Candice LeRae intergender tag matches.
Hideo Itami didn't appear on like any show the entire WrestleMania week, did he?
He was in a video on the 205 Live.
In a video, yes. No matches.
No
matches for Mr. Hideo Itami. So things going really well for him. And then the last thing I want to talk about here, Jeff, in this part two recording, is what was the biggest match at WrestleMania, the most one of the matches I will remember long after this, and probably the only match I'll go back and rewatch, maybe multiple times. Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. This thing had almost everything. And the first thing I want to start with is, how amazing was it that after some of the talk on this show about how Kurt Angle was going to have to be the workhorse when Kurt Angle just can't work anymore, Ronda Rousey went in there and she was the workhorse. She took a ton of this match. She was going up there against Stephanie and Triple H doing the armbar stuff. She was all over the place. She was hyped. Give credit to Drake Wirtz, the referee who had a phenomenal weekend himself wrestling or reffing the Gargano match and the Rousey match at WrestleMania after working with Rousey for months at the PC. Ronda Rousey over-delivered by a huge amount and cemented at least this year, she can be a big babyface because she did not disappoint or let people down at WrestleMania.
And she was doing a lot of the little things well, too, like talking smack to Triple H. When she got the first tag in there and did the somersault, went to the ropes, she kind of, she did the come on gesture and she mouthed come on, bitch. I thought that was hot fire. I was like, man, she's really into this. There's no doubt that she over-delivered on this match, and that's what really made this. The whole putting Triple H on her shoulders and lifting him was a nice feat, too. When you're saying, did you say the match of the weekend or the match of WrestleMania?
The match of WrestleMania, the one I'm going to go back and rewatch from WrestleMania, because I love going back and rewatching WrestleMania, last year's WrestleMania with the Goldberg match, with the Hardy Boys return. And there's one other thing I usually go back and rewatch, but I can't quite remember it right now. There's a couple of things you go back and rewatch from previous WrestleManias, like, hey, I got to watch that again. The only thing right now, at least a week later, that I really want to go back and rewatch, and maybe will do so multiple times, is this Rousey tag. There just wasn't that much of, okay, I need to rewatch this immediately type of stuff on this year's WrestleMania.
I will probably rewatch the Asuka Charlotte match. I thought that was really, really good. I did. I really enjoyed that a whole lot. And there's a chance I will probably go back to the pre-show and rewatch Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. At least once.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That was quite a good match. Both those matches were really, really good. But yes, they pale in comparison to the both the story aspect and the match aspect of the mixed tag.
Otherwise, I mean, a good WrestleMania, the first half of which was leading to possibly the best WrestleMania of all time. I mean, it was not a disappointing WrestleMania. I just think it ended with a poor last hour between that Nakamura Styles match just under delivering and the surprise for surprise sake of Brock Lesnar winning. I mean, this is Roman Reigns, the guy who probably should have won the belt 2 years ago, despite the crazy ending with Seth Rollins, should have been the champion 2 years ago. They did not match the intensity and the match level of that WrestleMania 32 main event. They just
are they belting him in Saudi Arabia?
I mean, I don't want them to, and not just because it's anti-Roman Reigns stuff. Roman Reigns should be the champ.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you think they belt him in Saudi Arabia just to shove it down our throats that next Monday?
I don't think that's the reason. I think, okay, you're giving this big of a show to Saudi Arabia. They are going to leave them with a title change. They are going to make it an important must-watch show. They are giving the title match and the title change to Saudi Arabia. They are going all out for the show.
Hold on then. Let me ask you this then. Did they hold off on the title change just for that aspect, do you think?
I think that was a majority of it.
Oh my God. What are they doing?
Yeah. Yeah. This is their WrestleMania. This show in Saudi Arabia is their WrestleMania, more so than WrestleMania was. And I think that's part of it. I think they're going to give Roman Reigns the championship. They want that championship match. At least it made the decision easier not to give Roman the belt at WrestleMania because this show was happening. They could do it here. And maybe they shock us again and Brock Lesnar leaves the champion and we move on and we don't have it. But I think we're getting Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns for the championship at Backlash. I think that's the title match. It's not just going to be a grudge match. It'll be for the Raw Universal Champion. But overall, I mean, I liked WrestleMania. I think the crowd was probably tired a little bit at the end. The crowd seemed like they arrived pretty early. I mean, there was a pretty good sized crowd.
It was full for the pre-show. And everybody was there the entire 7 hours, and it felt like 7 hours.
Maybe we shouldn't mind that the crowd arrives late sometimes. Maybe they would have. I'll tell you one thing. Like, this is obviously a hindsight gripe. AJ Nakamura should have opened the show.
I agree.
Absolutely should have been the number one match on that show. Why? You're going to have a crowd who already likes Seth Rollins, who already likes Finn Balor. They had a banger on Raw. You don't need to put them on first. They did not need the help. If you were going to deliver a 15 to 20 minute Shinsuke Nakamura AJ Styles match that was going to end up like that. Now, maybe they trusted Nakamura and AJ more to go out there at the end and get the crowd back into it, and it's a plan that just didn't work. That's fine. If the plan just didn't work, okay. But in hindsight, they should have gone on number one.
No, you know what it was? They were going to avoid the criticism of when Del Rio, I think, won the Rumble and he went on first, and we all thought, isn't this supposed to be the main event? Well, don't you main event when you do that? If they had put him on first, this crowd would have crapped on the rest of the show.
I don't think so, though.
I do.
I really don't, because there was plenty on that crowd to like. I mean, I thought the John Cena stuff was, I maybe would have done a little bit more with John Cena and building up the anticipation of whether Undertaker was there. And then once they have John Cena run to the back and then he comes out for a match and you try to give the old bait and switch, like you tried to make it look like, okay, this match might not actually happen. Like, that's one step a little too far. Like, we know he's out here. The match is happening. Quit trying to trick everybody.
Yeah, and kind of being hokey with the Deus Ex Machina and stuff. You know, the clothes are in there. Lightning's going to
fall. Oh, yeah, lightning. Like,
oh, yeah. Whatever.
How'd that look live?
I'm one who wanted the American Badass, so.
Well, that was never going to happen. Part of it.
I know, it wasn't.
How did the lightning look live? There was no lightning, right? That was CGI on the screen or some type of graphics on the screen. Like, what did you see live with the Undertaker stuff in the ring?
I think it was live, because the only stuff I remember not being live was like the big old Asuka masks and like the stacks of pancakes for the New Day entrance. Those were CGI'd in, you know, some of those for some of the entrances and stuff. There wasn't any like giant props like last year.
Okay.
But I think the lightning was live.
Okay. The lightning in the arena. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
That's a miracle. God, Undertaker has powers, man. He can bring Lightning to the arena. He can kick Rusev out of the arena.
We can talk Charlotte Asuka when we talk SmackDown call-ups, if you'd like.
Yeah, so I want to get into this. We had some new faces, returning faces on Raw. We had some new faces, returning faces on SmackDown. We start on the Raw side. The Authors of Pain are up, and Paul Ellering is out.
Yeah. Do you think Paul Ellering brings in another team?
I think Paul Ellering's done. I think he they brought him in. It worked. He wasn't supposed to be a regular. I think he's just go back to what he was doing, whatever that may have been. I think he's done as a character.
No, I agree with that. I think the Authors of Pain need someone with them. I think they need someone to speak for them. I think they can kill people, but that only gets you so far because it makes you the Bludgeon Brothers at some point.
Okay, but you think they need someone to carry them. What if they're both really great on the mic and we don't know it yet because they haven't had to do it? What if they actually have potential? What if one of them, what if Occam, what if Rezar is the next Hulk Hogan, the next John Cena, the next top guy, and we don't know yet?
Okay, but if they had that potential, wouldn't you have seen it on NXT?
I mean, they were only there for a year and a half, man.
Only a year and a half.
And we never got the chance because they were a tag team and they couldn't talk. I'm telling you, I think Rezar might surprise you.
I would not be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen, but let me do something here.
Rezar Braun Strowman, main event of WrestleMania 36.
Let's say Ellering goes and brings back like Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf.
Gross.
I know, but I'm just thinking.
Killian Dane can go, hey, here's hot take on who should go from NXT. And maybe not fired. Do something else. That's fine. You don't have to fire guys. No interest in Killian Dane. All right.
After that ladder match, he's a made man. Yeah, he deserves everything he gets.
No, he can go away. He can go, join the SmackDown tag division. He can go on 205 Live. He can do something else. He can do something. Make another NXT that you can put War Machine on with Killian Dane. Like, get these guys out of my hair.
The Ascension.
They can go on the Ascension show. They can become bit players on Fashion Files. Go to Fashion Files on SmackDown. I don't need to see them. War Machine and Sanity are the same people.
I agree, and they're the same as the Bludgeon Brothers and the Ascension.
Same people, man. I mean, they're the same. Stop hiring the same people.
And the Wyatt family and anybody else who has that ooh, we bring chaos gimmick. And the Authors of Pain, if you want to do that.
And we're raiding NXT. Man, we just had Sanity raid NXT. We just got rid of Authors of Pain who were raiding NXT. All these guys raid NXT. You know what? Raid some other show. I don't see it. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, call-ups.
Call-ups, yes.
Speaking of call-ups, called up from Bellator, Bobby Lashley is on WWE Raw, at least for now. Who knows? Because there's a superstar shakeup next week. All these people who debuted on the show, I bet they end up on the other show.
No,
I don't think so either. Bobby Lashley's there to stay.
Although Lashley had a great backstage promo that gives me hope that this run's going to be better.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is late stage Batista instead of early stage Batista like Bobby Lashley was. This is a
gives
guy.
No F's Batista.
He was out of the company.
Hold on. Are we talking pink polo shirt?
I think so, bro.
Glasses, hugging babies and kissing fat girls Batista.
I think it's that version. I think that's what we're going to see with Bobby Lashley. He went out to TNA where he had more freedom. He could figure out who he was. He went to Bellator. He lived a life over the last, how long was he gone even? Has it been 10 years? Like, it's been a while since he was around. It's been a long time. So he went out there. He's a different person coming back now. He's more confident. He's not Bobby Lashley. Oh, I hope I keep my spot. He's Bobby Lashley. Like, hey, they paid me to come back. They want me. They need me. And I think we're going to see a really good Bobby Lashley that can be a true main eventer, that can be someone who wrestles Brock Lesnar for the title and wins. Like, Bobby Lashley, he's the guy that can beat Brock. Don't beat Brock with Roman Reigns in Jeddah. Don't do it. You should have done it at WrestleMania if you wanted to. You should have done it 2 years ago. I mean, yeah, it was a cool moment. We still remember it. Seth Rollins should not have been involved in that main event at WrestleMania 32. Shouldn't have been. But
I will say this. Let me cut in here.
No, it's your show.
No, it's not. If you're going to debut and bring back people on Raw and SmackDown, they did this again this year, Rob, where they give the disclaimer. that this audience is full of rabid fans.
Oh, and it was
sometimes
so...
boo people they cheer for, you should be cheering for, and cheer people you should be booing for. It's so wacky. You don't do that because this is the show
so
where
annoying.
Other people watch, where other people watch to see how they should react. This is why Enzo Cass got so over so quickly.
It was part
because
of it.
Everybody went apeshit for them when they appeared. So everybody else learned, oh, we should go apeshit too. Oh,
now,
ape crap. Sorry for the PG.
Correct. Right.
Too.
It's PG here, son. Yeah. And you're absolutely right, because what if you're a casual viewer who doesn't know that this is stupid WWE speak, like just because Vince is mad at wrestling fans? We can see through it.
Ruining all my plans for Roman. I got to get angry at him now. Booga, booga, booga.
But you are telling people at the start of your show that these fans are crazy. They boo who regularly they would cheer. They cheer who they regularly would boo. Ember Moon comes out. Oh, she's getting cheered. Is this someone bad? Should I not be cheering for her because this crowd
exactly.
is wacky?
Exactly. The doubt creeps in. Should I not? Because these people may be cheering for someone I shouldn't be. Oh, I'm going to wait for next week when they're in Poughkeepsie and nobody knows who she is.
If I'm Cedar Rapids, Iowa fan, and I'm saying like, oh, if I go to a show in Cedar Rapids, I should boo this lady because the New Orleans crowd is cheering her. That must be wrong because Corey Graves told me so.
The debuts on Raw were perfect.
Bobby Lashley, Authors of Pain. I want to talk. I know it's not Ember Moon. Yes, Ember Moon is there.
Ember Moon was a great.
Oh, she was fantastic. She was fantastic,
especially after getting Apollo Creed'd on the previous night. Dancing to the music, comes out, gets killed.
Yeah.
No, that was really good. And you know what? For what it was, No Way Jose.
No Way Jose debuted. The crowd was excited to see him. I don't know what storyline you're going to start seeing for this guy. Is he just going to be that? Quick match break on Raw where it's like, okay, this is the fun portion of the show. Or is it going to fade out very quickly like Adam Rose did?
I think the latter.
Okay.
I think eventually they'll put him up with like the Fashion Police or something.
If I'm WWE, I'm putting The Miz with him and I'm putting him with him fast. Like not with him as a tag team by any means. That's your program. No Way Jose The Miz, because The Miz will get it over. He will. It'll feel like something important too. If you're in there with The Miz, it's an important part
down.
Of the show.
Slow down, because this is the same thinking as Chris Jericho and Fandango for WrestleMania.
I don't think so. Well, Fandango, that match seemed more important because it wasn't you. The crowd thinks Chris Jericho stuff is important. Like it's what you do afterwards. Like Fandango beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. That's pretty cool. But you put week in and week out. Tell me that fans won't believe that No Way Jose is more important than maybe he is because he's in there promos week after week matches with The Miz, who is a star on television.
He is a star on television, but does he have the wrestling star heft?
The Miz is basically this generation's Hulk Hogan.
Okay, that's a bit much. It's a bit over the line.
Okay. All right. 94.
But, you know, I mean, you understand my dad. I mean,
I do, yes. I understand everything. I'm pretty much all knowing.
Okay.
Samoa Joe came back. Not a debut, but I wanted to bring this on because Samoa Joe.
Perfect.
I mean, it seems likely. Yes. Maybe it's hard to tell what's likely because Roman Reigns was probably going to win at WrestleMania until it didn't happen. Roman Reigns going into Jeddah, cage match, Brock Lesnar. They want to cap off this big event, you know, what's a historic event. And obviously it keeps being told to us that it's the most important event ever. Roman Reigns wins the title. They want to do a title change in Saudi Arabia, make that show feel even more important and get all their business, all the Saudi money. That's fine. Roman Reigns wins that. It seems like they've set up Roman's next challenger and the next title match at Backlash. They've already announced Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. No Brock Lesnar match on that show as of yet. We could be seeing Samoa Joe as the WWE Universal Champion.
We're not going to, but we could. Although, man, if he wins the title in Saudi Arabia, thank goodness they changed the finish, which was just a ridiculous story. I mean, come on. I didn't understand why. I thought Joe's promo was pitch perfect here. And he's great at delivering these types of promos.
Yeah, it was good.
But Roman got no sympathy whatsoever.
No, because
for that promo.
Yeah, I mean, Roman's good. I like Roman.
I do too. I like him. I just don't think I think he's miscast.
He can't
horribly
no.
for what he's doing.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. He could have been the last 2 years. U.S. Open title challenge John Cena is what Roman Reigns should be. Like, you know, he's a biggish star, but he's not really in the world title picture. He's not on TV as the top guy, but you know, the crowd sees him as a top guy. There's a way.
2 years ago, 2 years ago, if they had made him corporate Roman, he'd be over as a babyface right now.
Could be. I mean, it did wonders for the Usos going bad. Maybe we need that out of Roman. They're doing it with Shinsuke now. So that's the,
I love that. Oh, let's go into that.
Well, we're going to get into that. It's time for the SmackDown portion of this week in WWE. But before we get all the way there, Paige is the new general manager of SmackDown, replacing Daniel Bryan, who is no longer in the position because he's an active wrestler again. So Paige, one night after retiring from Raw as an in-ring competitor, looks like she'll be on WWE TV as long as really she wants to be, as the GM, the Vicky Guerrero of this decade.
Her promo on Raw was heartfelt and touching and great. I am in the very, very vocal minority in that I think Paige needs to walk away from wrestling. In that I think it exacerbates some of her more destructive personal qualities.
I think
the longer that she stays in this general manager position, partying and going on the road and living that lifestyle.
Don't play psychologist. And also,
no, I'm not. I'm not going to play psychologist. Okay. I'm not playing psychologist at all. I'm just saying, I think that I'm not giving a mental breakdown of her. I just think that this is what it does to her personality. That's not a psychological thing.
But based
There's
on
proof
what we,
of that.
Well, no, based on what we know, like the year she was away from the road of WWE was her seemingly most destructive year in the news, wasn't it? When she didn't have the day in and day out.
Somewhat, but she was still around all the time. I mean, because when she was dating Del Rio. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying I think the business is toxic to someone who's been in it all their life. And just go do something else for a while to make sure that this is what you want to do with the rest of your life. Because you're at that age where you're still young enough to be able to do something else.
What if she does figure out, what if she left and figured out, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a TV character on WWE. Maybe that spot wouldn't be there for her if she left for a year or two.
That's a very big risk.
Yes.
That is.
And if this is all she knows and all she likes, why not do it right now?
Because when you hit 35 and they decide you're no longer good looking enough to be on television and you have to do something else, then all you had was wrestling. And then you have to go try and find something else. That's my thing. It's like being a child actor and then you hit puberty and then all of a sudden the casting agents don't call as much anymore and you're frustrated. So
Asuka did not win the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Charlotte defeated Asuka at WrestleMania to end the streak. Your current SmackDown Women's Champion is Carmella.
I'm fine with all of this.
I am not.
I am. I don't understand.
I mean, I'm not mad, but
you ended the streak for that. Look, they were going to end the streak anyways because Asuka doesn't need the streak.
Charlotte's going to win the title 17 times quickly.
Exactly. You keep saying she's going to win the title 17 times. She's so you have to get the belt off of her occasionally to do that.
Yep.
You introduce the Iconics as very, very strong here. You give Carmella a program with Asuka, should she jump, saying, oh, I beat Charlotte, why couldn't you? And then Asuka kills her, which is fine. If you don't, you have Charlotte chasing Carmella as the person with actual skill versus the flake champion, which is a good program.
I tweeted out that because, you know, my wife did not like the segment. We watched this live on SmackDown. My wife hated it. She thought the Iconics were annoying. She was like, who is this Carmella? Didn't Charlotte just defeat Asuka? Why is Charlotte losing the belt in this way? Like, she didn't like any of it. She didn't like any of it. All right. And I tweeted that out. Wife didn't like any of it. And all the responses seem to be the same. Well, this is how they move Charlotte to Raw. If that's the only reason, they could have had Asuka win.
No, yes, and I agree. And you know what they really need to do here? They need to have Charlotte be beat up, and they don't do injuries like that. Because people want to see the stars, as they know. So if she'd come out, you know, maybe with a limp, maybe a little beat up, maybe a little bruised, and then the Iconics did that, and then Carmella cashed in, it would have gone over much better than full strength Charlotte getting her butt kicked.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was just, and again, I'm not mad at it. This is the direction they're going. That's fine. I wonder if Carmella really needed to win the championship right now. And I know you're time sensitive. You're coming up on Money in the Bank. Like, whatever. Just have her lose and then win the title later on if you want her to be in that picture. Like, right now, the heat is kind of on Carmella because she won the title. It's kind of on the Iconics because they were the reason why Charlotte ended up losing to Carmella. And if Charlotte just goes to Raw right now, she's not going to get the comeuppance on either two of them. We're just going to have Iconics and Carmella as the heels and then some made-up babyface moving from Raw to take the top spot on SmackDown if it's not Becky Lynch. Like, and no heat. Like, this is the way we write people off.
Well, okay, but look at it the other way. If you have Charlotte win and she still has the title, you have no real fresh division other than the fact that you have some new faces in it, because all the Iconics are the new Riot Squad for the most part. There are a couple of girls who beat up Charlotte a bit, and Charlotte eventually takes them down because she's an overpowering babyface.
I like the Iconics and Peyton yelling out because we're the future. I'm like, Charlotte just came here 3 years ago. Like, she ain't exactly old either. 2 years ago, even.
I think they tapped into something with the Iconics on the main roster that they didn't have on NXT. And I'm still not sure what it is, but I think it's a little bit less of their teenage girls who are being mean versus, say, the two women in your office who are mean kind of thing. There's a certain maturity there. Hold on. Sorry, I'm just coughing all over the place today because my throat's dry.
It's all the traveling, man. Hey, you weren't at the Hall of Fame ceremony for WWE,
no, so I'm not
right?
I'm not getting measles.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's a scary situation. Everyone who went to the Hall of Fame in New Orleans is going to be sick and die. Like, that should be a bigger news story, that everyone who went to the Hall of Fame is on their deathbed.
Yeah, but the gear was better for them. The act was better. I liked the do that imitation you do of her. You know, it wasn't that do that little imitation that you do, you know, thing that they were doing in NXT. It was kind of a more.
It was the content
grown
of
up,
the imitation.
Grown up version of being a mean girl, which was kind of cool, I thought. And they got Billie Kay's makeup right, which I was very thankful for, I thought, because there was something off about that in NXT. I don't know what it was, but.
Okay.
Well, you know, the glam squad can sometimes overdo it at times.
The introduction of heel, sarcastic, Shinsuke Nakamura happened on this
fantastic.
Show.
Fantastic. Absolutely great. Sarcastic. Oh, and it played into the whole story of the go-home show for SmackDown, where AJ gets the better of him by faking going for the forearm, right? Or the whatever it was.
The forearm,
and then Shinsuke freaks out.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks, oh, he's playing head games and Shinsuke's too emotional. Oh, I'm sorry, am I too emotional? And then they played into every meta commentary thing about the English stuff. Well, it was so great.
That was the whole story for the last couple of weeks, because it was the knee to the face. Like, right before that, when Shinsuke told AJ that AJ's too emotional. And here it was just Shinsuke, you know, trying to dodge the fact, the self-aware fact that he's the emotional one. And now we're not going to get emotional Shinsuke Nakamura. We're going to get Shinsuke who knows what he wants. It's the title. It's the beat AJ. And he's just going to go do it. I assume he's just going to go do it. We're going to get another AJ Shinsuke match. A match a couple of pay-per-views too late, because that could have been a really big main event where they have time to put on an all-time classic. If they were single branded shows and not dual branded shows, now you're going to have 5 matches from Raw, 5 matches from SmackDown on every single pay-per-view, and nothing's going to get that much time, which whatever. Yeah, we're going to probably see this one again. We could see it in Jeddah. Hopefully it's more of a Backlash match. How much important stuff can you do on a show that's happening 12 p.m. Eastern on a Friday afternoon?
in another country. Yeah.
It's happening in another country, but just when it's airing in the U.S., like, it's great for those worldwide. It's a cool thing. You'll come home from work on a Friday. Maybe you'll watch it Sunday in the traditional pay-per-view time slot. That would be cool too. It's going to be a taped show for most people. I don't think most people are watching this thing live. Like, at 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern, you're going to finally see Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns in the cage match. I know I'm not going to be at work watching this thing. That's for sure. I don't think most people will be.
Yeah, it's a problem. And I had no issue with Shinsuke breaking up the AJ Daniel Bryan fantasy match.
Right,
because you can't use Dream Match twice.
Correct, because right now you shouldn't be losing for Daniel and you shouldn't be losing for AJ. You get the heat there, and then you'll want to see AJ and Daniel Bryan later on again, and you'll probably see it, unless Daniel Bryan moves to Raw, which could be a thing. We're going to get superstars moving.
And it's good, and it tweaked the right people.
Yeah.
You know, look, we're getting AJ and Daniel Bryan. Oh, come on, nerds. Now we're going to break that up, and it gets Shinsuke the heat. I was fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool stuff. Anything else big from Raw or SmackDown you want to talk about the future? NXT TakeOver, you're at all these shows live. What else stands out from your trip to WrestleMania week?
I think next year, if I go to Mania, and I'm still not, I don't like New York, but.
No, just do the Rumble in Phoenix and be on with your life.
Well, NXT and Raw, I think, are going to be the two shows I look at. And then I'll watch Mania on television with snacks.
Well, I mean, if it's anything like this year, it's going to be 35 degrees and snowy.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. I mean, but look, if you get a chance to go to an NXT show before a major pay-per-view, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Rob would agree. That Phoenix NXT show, I am definitely going to be at.
Oh,
I may go to All In now, though. Did you know that?
Oh, okay. Well, if you go, I'll go.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I'll go to All In. I mean, there's going to be tickets available. That's not a shot. I'm just saying, if they're running this giant ass building, I don't think they can get 10,000 people. I mean, they announced Kazuchika Okada for this All In show. And I'm like, of course they're going to announce Kazuchika. Of course he was going to be there. Why is this a surprise to people? They're bringing in New Japan people. It's going to be a Ring of Honor New Japan co-promoted show, just like any other area. And they're going to have to more than double the last Chicago show that ROH came to the arena in. And I don't know if they're going to more than double it. So 10,000 is their goal. Good for them. If you draw anything above 5,000, it's a big time event. It's a big time show. It's amazing. Like, it's not a success or a failure if they draw 10,000 more or less.
I'll give some highlights of the shows that I'll give some highlights of the shows that I went to a few months. Oh, you'll be there. Will we do the podcast fest too? Will that be done?
Hell no.
Rev Pro, the Minoru Suzuki, Jeff Cobb match was great. As was Ishii and Sabre. The Progress show. The second one, Walter versus Zack Sabre Jr. was amazing because Walter's amazing and just killed Zack. Walter had a nice weekend. Walter killed Pierre-Carl Ouellette at Janela Spring Break. And if you see the pictures of Ouellette, keep him in your prayers because, man, his chest was destroyed.
Can we talk about how great Drake Wurtz's week was? I mean, this guy main evented Ciampa and Gargano, and then it looks like he was on the WrestleMania card and not necessarily called up as a referee. He was on the WrestleMania card because he worked with the Performance Center with Ronda all week in preparation.
I noted
he
that
was the
too.
Ref.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. No, he had a great. No, he was great, and he was great in that match too, especially getting bullied by Triple H.
Yes. Hey, if you have not watched that on TV yet, you have to go back and watch that match on TV.
Agreed. He had a great weekend.
Like, have you watched? I'm saying, have you, Jeff? Have you watched the TV version?
I haven't watched anything from the TV
versions. If you're going to watch, if you're just bits and pieces here, if you're not going to watch the full WrestleMania show over again, like in order, go back, watch the Ronda Rousey tag match from WrestleMania, watch Drake Wurtz's match work in that one. You can tell why he was there. I mean, this guy carried Ronda Rousey through everything she was supposed to do, and it worked out excellently.
My joke for him was he also was out there for the ladder match. I was like, I hope for old time's sake, he goes through a ladder.
Ricochet had a nice debut. Do you agree?
Oh, I thought that was your cutoff point. boy, he was over rotating and just jump. I mean, it was a great debut, yeah. But man, I was worried for his health for a while there because he was, you know what, we were all saying that the week before that. Oh, Velveteen Dream's the one that's going to be excitable. So, no, it was Ricochet.
That
Ricochet over rotated at least once there and almost missed.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. He was crazy,
and he was great.
He was great. That probably should have been the cutoff point. Then you know me so well, Jeff Hawkins, but the cutoff point will be a very disappointing one in about a minute. Anyway, Shayna Baszler, Ember Moon. No one's talking about this match, and rightfully so.
I don't know about that. I think it did what it was supposed to do, and it was fine. It was better. I thought it was better than the Rumble match.
What's her next program? Is it Dakota Kai? Do they move Dakota to the main slot for Shayna Baszler? Is it going to be Kairi Sane going back to their Mae Young Classic battle? Is it Candice LeRae? Like who's next up for Shayna Baszler?
I think they're going to have a buffer program with Dakota and then on TV, and then they're going to move on to Kairi.
And Kairi's the bigger program because we got a takeover here coming up in a month.
We do.
We have Takeover Chicago happening in May.
I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
Yes, it's happening before the, I believe, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Is that the, I believe, Money in the Bank 2018, I believe, is the next pay-per-view coming up in Chicago. And if it is, yes, they are doing a takeover before it. So let's see, June 17th, maybe it's in June. Yeah, it is in June. Okay, not May. We're 2 months away. It is going to be in June, on June 16th, Takeover Chicago. So 2 months. 2 months we have another takeover. And it could be Dakota, it could be Kairi. It's probably going to be promoted as a big takeover show because it is in Chicago.
Well, what's Tino going to do?
The hell is Tino going to do? Who? What's your big prediction? Because now we're 1 day away from the start of the Superstar Shakeup. Who's the biggest mover? Is Roman going to SmackDown? Are we going to get a show for John Cena where he's stuck on one of these shows? Like, what is the biggest move that you can anticipate happening?
In my eyes or the company eyes?
No, what do you see happen? What are you looking for? What do you expect to see? Like, could they move Roman Reigns? Could they move Kurt Angle? Could Kurt Angle go like, hey, you're an active wrestler at this point. You're going to go to SmackDown.
Because they just named Paige.
I'm not saying his general manager.
He's not going to be a wrestler.
Okay.
Full time. All right. No way.
What do you see?
I strongly think Randy Orton may end up on Raw.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
Well, then they would also have to move Seth Rollins, yes?
Yes, possibly. He's the title holder. He's the title holder. They may move Miz or Finn.
Okay, yes. I'm not saying that Randy Orton's the champion. They can move Miz or Finn. I guess that's more of the apt comparison. Yeah, I know Randy Orton's not the champion anymore. It felt like that's a lateral move. You can move Seth and Randy and get away with it. But yeah,
I think Orton and Charlotte end up on Raw.
Okay.
And I think for the big moves in terms of that, I think Finn, Balor, and probably Sasha Banks end up on SmackDown.
Sasha on SmackDown, I think is.
And Asuka.
And if Sasha doesn't go, Bayley is going. It's one of those two. One of those two will end up on a different show.
Yes.
And Charlotte seems likely, not just because of the title loss and everything, but Charlotte seems likely to move too. So we are going to have some newsworthy couple of episodes this week before we record the next Shake Them Ropes. And that concludes Jeff Hawkins, part two of Shake Them Ropes episode. I don't even know.